spring edition. Hooligans Pitch, back after a little break. International break, FA Cup games, Champions League games. But we're back.
Finally. It's been about a month.
It's a big day.
Is it?
Is it a big day? For me, it's a big day.
It's a big day for you. I guess, okay, you know what? It's a big day for me too, because today, you know, if we're talking Champions League right from the start, my team is out. We haven't even talked about that a little bit here. But I'm all in for Arsenal now, just so we can have, you know, Kristen rooting for them. I'm obviously in for it. I think tickets will be a lot cheaper if Arsenal is in it too. So by the piggy bank, you know, kind of going that route as well.
What you can get, you
honestly, know. A Madrid Arsenal final would have been the dream, but you know, we'll see what happens. So it's noon for me. I'm doing my grapefruit seltzer. Just my go-to.
A little early for seltzer for me, so I'm on a coffee.
There you go. Wake up. Mm-hmm. All right. This last month, let's be honest, in the EPL, not much has really changed besides players announcing they're leaving. Kevin De Bruyne has announced that he'll be leaving City, which is pretty big news considering he's been one of the longest tenured players in the Premier League within the last decade. But regarding movement and drama, not a whole lot. I think the Tottenham loss has kind of been the peaks of Premier League and the laughs going on there. You know, Chelsea kind of struggling, Newcastle being like not really sure, and I guess City being out of top five. That's probably the biggest news there. Everything else has just been kind of standard. Arsenal still has a chance.
Technically, yes. So, you know, like I said before, I'll believe until the end, but, you know, I guess to kind of jump to this weekend, it just went like every other opportunity Arsenal had this season. Truly. Of like, they drop points and Liverpool drops points, and then it's like, should have won that game, and then you're a little bit closer, but here we are. I mean, I don't know. I don't have much to say on the Everton game because I think it really was just rotation and prep for Madrid.
For sure.
So, yeah, you know, would have been nice to win. I think the penalty is... oh, my God, sorry. My cat is going crazy over here. The penalty awarded to Everton in that was wrong, I think it's just fair to say. I haven't seen too many arguments for it other than, like, the reffing panels seem to want to back their guy, which is fine. Like, I get they do that. But to me, it just looks like Lewis Skelly just kind of gets out-muscled on this. I don't think there's any foul here. I think this is just two physical players challenging for the ball. Like, and, yeah, I don't know. It seems a very harsh penalty to give and one of the softer ones I think we've seen.
Definitely one of the softer ones considering we've seen some, I don't know, just all around rough tackles that have not been called for anything. And then this was the one where it was far away from goal too. And it just looked like both players made a mess out of it. And Skelly was the one to be punished. But I will say he seems to always be in the middle of these situations. And yeah. I don't know if he's like every player has, you know, those calls they get by superstar calls, but like kind of in this case, the opposite. He's been in so many reckless situations where now if it's just him in a situation like this again, I think refs just automatically think like, yeah, he messed up because he has a couple times already just in the last, 3 months?
Yeah. I mean, I think while he's performed well, the times that we've seen him, it's also just he is still young and you know, is not immune to making some of those just like inexperienced mistakes,
right?
On tackles and whatever it might be. But I think, like you said, like that kind of is playing a role. So I think that hopefully that kind of goes away with time and you know, this doesn't just get passed around the reffing circle of like, watch out for that guy. He's dangerous tackles or, you know, just a little bit reckless. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, with a young guy like that, I'd rather see you try and go in and make these tackles and
for sure,
you know, have that bravery to want to play and want to like be involved and not get just pushed off the ball so easy or you know, back out of challenges. And like, you'll learn over time and you'll learn from your mistakes, hopefully. And if you don't, you know, you won't make it at the top end like this, but I'd rather see that take the few little hits along the road and hopefully he progresses well and you know, becomes kind of fulfills the potential that I think a lot of people can see in him right now.
No, they're so young. This squad is so interesting because you have kind of like a vet leadership crew, and then you have a lot of the young guys in there as well. So it's,
yeah,
you're definitely set up for success. There's no doubt about that. It'll be interesting to see what summer moves you really want to make and to bolster up probably more of the attacking side, because everything else, I think you're going to be okay. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Gabby hamstring injury isn't too crazy. I don't know what the timeline is looking like as far as his recovery.
I think they pretty much said he's just out for the rest of the season.
Right,
so
right.
I'm assuming it's, you know, some level of tear where, you know, it is just a handful of weeks to months out. But I haven't heard anything about it being, like, super serious of, you know, 6 months or anything.
So. It did require surgery, so that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's
just another one on the list.
Yeah, right. So you know, and I'm curious about that too, because I was talking about it, and it was, you know, what's up with the hamstring injuries over at Arsenal? What are we overworking our hamstrings? Are we not strengthening them enough?
Probably a little of both, I'd say. I mean,
I'd be curious to see what leg it's on too. Is it their kicking leg? Is it the plant leg? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unfortunately, I don't know what legs were injured for. I guess everyone. Yeah. But yeah, just something to, I find that interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's nothing, but it's definitely,
I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of everything there of like, you know, Arteta hasn't been the best at rotating over his time there. And especially the last couple seasons, it was like pretty much the same 11 game after game, regardless of competition, just because things were clicking, things were looking good, you're moving up the table, sitting on top of the table, whatever, and you know, you don't want to disrupt that flow. But then you know, as you saw some seasons, you know, the energy levels and concentration kind of falters towards the end because they've just played so much. But and I think just compounding that with, you know, a few seasons now, you know, injuries are probably bound to happen. I think it's maybe coincidental. It's all hamstrings, but I think it's probably just so many minutes where then they're, I'm assuming during training, not trying to push them too hard, give them like recovery time, but then you're also maybe not strengthening any hamstring or anything around there in that process too. So I don't know. Unlucky, cursed season, you know, whatever you want to call it. But hopefully this means everyone's hammies are good to go for next season.
Fully repaired. PT started early. Yeah, next year. It's crazy we can already kind of start talking about it a little bit, considering we're going to have three teams who are most likely relegated.
Well, Southampton confirmed.
True. They're donezo, but the Wolves with a 12-point lead. I'd be catastrophic if they mess that up. Their three wins in a row have just been super key in getting them well out of that zone. You know, I think City again is going to be the most interesting one here, considering they may not make Europe this year. And I think we're going to lean that way. I think we are now with Haaland out.
I hope so. I just like I unfortunately I think they're, you know, financial backing by whatever way they do it is strong enough that missing out on Champions League money won't hurt so much.
Right.
But I hope it does cause a little bit of a stumble in some plans and, you know, maybe even turns a few players' heads that they're looking at and being like, well, why would I go there when I could go to Forest and I'm in Champions League? Like, you know, so if they're out of Europe, it's a good season for the rest of the league, I think. You know, I mean, let's be honest. They haven't been great in Champions League this season. They had a pretty terrible record up until, you know, winning it. They would always go out kind of shockingly, I guess. Like
they had that one against Chelsea in the final. That was the one time where I was like, okay, maybe they could get it done, but like they probably won't. And then, the one against Inter.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Again, it's nice to just, like, have a different look, a different vibe to the top end. You know, they're still sitting in six, so they're still up there in the conversation, but, you know, Villa's kind of coming back into form.
Right.
Fulham's doing their Fulham thing, going back and forth, but, like, if they could kind of push on here right at the end...
Fulham has a chance, as well as Brighton. Brighton still can do... Yeah. Brighton's two losses in a row, though, that definitely hurt their chances. But yeah, Fulham would be an interesting one to get in there. I think the schedule for City, it's going to be tough in kind of the next couple games here, but then it can coast a little bit. But again, their team is vastly different from last year. A lot of young guys playing, a lot of new guys playing. It's not the same team that we're going to see kick it into high gear at the end of the season. Would not shock me if they stay exactly where they are. I don't see them playing at the same intensity as Newcastle is right now. Villa too.
It's like all their motivating factors for previous seasons were like, we're right there for the title, push forward, we can get it. And now it's, well, push forward so we can get into Champions League for next season, where it's like, okay, that's motivating, but for, you know, a Newcastle, a Forest, heck, even Arsenal and Chelsea and Villa, like, that means a lot more, I think, to those teams than it will to City players right now, because a handful of those, you know, are just getting back into Champions League, or, you know, for Arsenal, going as far as they've gone in many years in the Champions League. So, like, it's becoming a bigger deal for those clubs, whereas, like, City, will be bummed to have gone out in the way they did this season, but... I don't know if Pep can motivate enough to just have them fight for like one or two more places and be no real like tangible reward at the end of that.
I think he could motivate, but I don't think they're good enough. I think it simply comes down to that. Their quality is just not as good as the teams in front of them right now. You know, they have players, but it's a lot of the new players they got who are good haven't played that long on this team. So it's a weird mix of players with old and new and injured. And I don't think they're going to have that last season push to the end, especially with Haaland out now. That's a huge loss. And De Bruyne is already mentally, I think, gone, right? It's kind of a shame he went out the way he did.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like De Bruyne felt like it was such a... I guess so many of his seasons were so, like, good, and then he got injured for a while, and then came back, and it kind of played that way again, but then he just, like, never came back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe he was hoping he could kind of have a little spark to go out on. But yeah, I think the team kind of, I mean, they're kind of forced to move away from only relying on him. Not that it really worked, but I think in doing that, they kind of almost didn't know how to fully utilize him when he was healthy again.
Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting stat. I don't know if this is all Premier League or a mix of national team in there too, but this season, 24-25, he's missed 12 games. 23-24, he missed 36 games. Okay. His healthiest season is 22-23 when they won the Champions League. He only missed four. After that, it goes 11, 16, 6, 36, 8, 13, 13. So the dude misses a lot.
Pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, you know, and Foden's been invisible basically the whole season. I know he came out and said he's dealing with mental fatigue and all that, and I don't doubt that plays a role in a lot of players' careers and seasons. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, Pep extended for the next season. We know that much. But I don't know that this team is being set up very well for, like, whoever's going to come in after Pep.
Right. I agree. I agree with that completely. Pep did sign for, is it 3 more years?
Yeah, something like that.
But I do, I mean, he could leave at any time, right? It's not like he's...
I think it's sooner rather than later here.
Do you think he makes his whole contract?
I don't think he will. Like, I think he really was, it felt like he was really going to leave after this one ended, right?
With, mm-hmm. Very know, much so.
Winning the treble, kind of has now won it all with City. I think they probably convinced him, and maybe he felt a little bit, you know, of a loyalty thing of like going through whatever's going to come out of the 115 charges, of just like being there to kind of keep some stability. But I feel like we've just seen, I know he had like external outside of football issues this year, but like just seen him be like such a different person, different coach this season, especially. And, I don't know, felt like very reminiscent of when he was kind of done at Barcelona, and just like, you could see him starting to check out and just wanting to be away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's there till the summer of 27. So really 2 more seasons. Mm. I agree with that. It'd be interesting if they have another, it could be interesting because if they have a bad year next year, he's like, okay, I got to get this team into Champions League. Then I'll feel good about leaving.
Yeah.
Or it could be the opposite way where kind of the Bayern Munich force him out type style, which is crazy. They did that, but it's entirely possible that he says, you know what, this is it. I'm out, which I thought this year would have been it. Honestly, I thought this was going to be the year. Maybe he had hope they would get to a better spot. It didn't happen.
Yeah, just send him over to Miami. Have him work with Messi again.
Like. Yeah, Kevin's going to be there soon.
Yeah, Kevin will be there. Get the band back together.
Mascherano's their coach right now, right?
Yeah, Mascherano.
Yeah, I wonder how that'll work.
Well,
Pep can be the assistant.
They'll all get together. They're all friends.
Yeah, right? Doesn't really matter. All right, let's talk a little Liverpool here, Chad, because a lot has happened with us in this last month. We openly talked about PSG would be the toughest game for Liverpool this year. That was confirmed. It's a tough place to be, right? Because you hate to see the toughest team. I mean, it makes sense that the toughest team you're going to see is in Champions League, but it had been so long since we'd had a team to like bring it, like actually bring it, not just score like a fluke goal or like our defense messed up. PSG brought it. Their speed is crazy. They were always, it felt like they were always on the attack. Liverpool showed up, right? We knew they would, but it was the, I don't know, it felt like nerves were so high for everyone, kind of but Salah and Alisson. And then when Trent went down with his injury, that felt like a nail. It was like, I don't like, what are we going to do now? Right.
Yeah.
So it came down to PKs. I think Slot will learn a lot from this PK scenario to take off the clutch takers like McAllister and Szoboszlai. That was definitely like a, wow, like what is he thinking here? Like, why would he do that knowing that this game is inevitably going to go to PKs? Yeah. And, you know, we saw Darwin step up and it just, body language was already like, I don't know, just different. It just felt really like, I get Darwin wants to live up to those types of moments. But with his kind of himself being all over the place this season, it was a tough ask. And Donnarumma is a monster, right? He's a monster. So I'm not shocked that the PKs went the way it did. I didn't want to say I saw it coming, but I definitely saw the writing on the wall. It just felt like the momentum was so to PSG, it was going to take a lot to come back and get over this. hump. And Beck and Allison's not a PK stopper. He never has been. They showed the records, and it was like Donnarumma has closed out like half of the PKs he's done, and Allison's never saved one PK in a PK shootout. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was a tough stat to read as soon as this thing started. It was like, oh, great.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, that's what I needed. So again, it was the substitutions, right? I think that's what kind of killed us is to Szoboszlai, Diaz, and McAllister. I think those guys could have taken a PK and been fine.
For sure.
Virgil not taking one, I thought that was kind of weird. And yeah, Curtis, I kind of get that one. It was the Nunez one. I was like, oof, okay. And then Salah is the only one who made one. Not shocked. Not really shocked by that.
Yeah.
And then
I think Nunez. I think Nunez is always going to be the guy that will put his name out there to take it. Like, he,
of course,
I think he has that drive and will to help the team. I don't know how much, players are choosing or slot is at this point, but it was a weird pick considering just like how Darwin's been this season with some impactful moments, but then still some glimpses of the Darwin from like previous seasons where it's just like missing sitters and all that. So maybe he put up a good case and slot was like, all right, get in there, have your time. But yeah, I mean, always tough to go out on PKs, especially after, the heroics of Allison in that first round. And, even this second game, Allison put up good saves again. And it was just, that was probably like, from a neutral perspective, like the most exciting part of this game was just like the goalkeeping battle was incredible.
Yep. And even the goal PSG got was not anything special. It was so unlucky. So unlucky. And incredibly lucky for PSG that the ball just happened to roll the right way. And that was like, it seemed like that was miscommunication in the back line, right?
I think so.
And then you saw as we attacked, there was miscommunication on when balls were being driven in and Diaz and Nunez didn't know like who was supposed to go for them. And so it was like, what? Like, what? This was not the team that was like coming out to play City at the beginning of the season, right? So different. Disappointing. And then inevitably Trent was probably going to say something after this game ended or do something or Madrid news coming out. So it's still not official what's going on there. Yeah. It happens to look like he will be leaving. At the same time, it's like, okay, like I get it. It's just the way it was kind of handled. I don't know. It's, when Madrid comes knocking, the news and the media just goes crazy. And because if Madrid didn't have English players on that team, I don't think it would get the same type of coverage because Jude probably is over there and they have friendships. It's strange. That's pretty much it. It's strange. And then, of course, Mo Salah, nothing. I mean, they say he's going to sign for 2 years and nothing. Virgil, say, like, what's going on? So I don't know when any of this is going to really close. I just think that the team we have now, if you just take out Trent, we can make that work over there. I believe in Bradley. I think we can find, good backup too. I think the goal here is to get someone to score goals besides Salah.
Yeah, that's kind of... I don't know if I'd call it an issue just because he's been so good at scoring, but like if you had to pinpoint like one negative, I guess, on Liverpool season, it was that of like previous seasons. It felt like the goal scoring was spread so wide amongst the team.
It was Mane and Salah and Salah's at 27 goals right now. I'd be perfectly happy if we had the same goal quantity, but had two players doing that.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you can mix it up and not have teams be solely focused on Salah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's, kind of been Arsenal's thing over the past few seasons. And, the season where it wasn't Saka being the only outlet. We had Odegaard doing it. We had Martinelli. Of course, that season worked so much better because now there's multiple threats that teams have to worry about instead of just blocking off one guy. Now, credit to Salah. They try and block him out, but they can't do it. But he does need some help up there. And just like, if he's pulling so much gravity that means at least two or three of you have can find some amount of space.
And they are getting, that's what's, is like, the space is there, the opportunity is there, the clutch is not there. That's what's missing. And, Harry Kane, what's going on? I'd like to know what happened in Germany.
That'd be interesting. That'd be a really interesting move. I would kind of love it just for the extra slap in the face to Tottenham. I don't think it would help Arsenal's chances at a title run next season, but it's not a terrible move for anyone, I think. You know, like,
it'd be weird for Bayern to do, though.
It'd be weird, but, you know, if Liverpool have the money or you know, can make the sales to get enough money, I'm sure Kane would probably lean towards coming back to England. It seems like he's performing well in Germany and having a good enough time, but, you know, family, friends, just familiarity back here in England anyway. So it'd be a crazy move.
Bring Eric Dyer back with you. I kind of want to see it too, Chad. I really do. Feels like LeBron James after he won his title in Miami. He's like, I'm coming home, and it's not really home. That's what it kind of feels like. I've never been a huge fan of Harry Kane, so I'll have to be forced to like him.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting for me. But hey, if he's scoring goals and you know, dunking on fools, I'll allow it. I think Bayern has to win the title this year. Bayern has 6 points on Leverkusen. It's still tight over there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's like the only name where I was like, I'd like, that would be fun. That would be cool. And of course, Dembélé is getting rumors now just because he destroyed us. So it's like, yeah, if we can't beat them, join us, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's about it. Again, there's no definitive news here. It's all just rumors. And how many games left we got now? Seven games? I believe it's seven.
Seven left.
So, again, I don't expect too much to change with the top two, right? I guess 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That can still shift around. I think it's probably not going to move too much.
I think it'll just be that kind of middle section.
The middle section will move around. Palace can get into top 10, I believe.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking I'd go from 12 to 6, I think, is going to be your main movement. Newcastle will be okay. They seem to have enough of their guys back healthy, and having multiple people score, not just hoping Isaac has a good game. Forest, I think, is they still got to win. They're not in Champions League yet, so I think they can do it, though. They seem to be still picking up the points where they need to.
They have a pretty flexible schedule, though, coming into the end of the season. They have West Ham, Leicester, Brentford, Tottenham and Everton. There's some teams in there that I think you should get it done. Yeah. Now Chelsea and Forest are on the last day of the season. That should be interesting.
Could be a big one.
That could keep one team out of Champions League and keep one in. So, yeah. Okay. So those teams are still battling. Liverpool, especially after this weekend, just look like, I want to say they didn't care, but not as much as on the line anymore for us.
Yeah.
It's, you can just tell the motivation and the momentum. It's like, what do we need now? I think 3 wins or some drop points by Arsenal. I do think we can still clinch it, coincidentally, on the 100th episode if we have everything lined up right. and the weekend we will play you.
Yeah.
So, we'll have the season wrapped up by May 11th. So that gives us 4 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly trending that way. I know Fulham put some weird voodoo on Liverpool for, what, always. 10, 15 minutes, whatever happened there.
Yep.
but I don't think that'll be any real sign of, like, complete collapse or anything here. And, you know, even then, Arsenal is still just still playing with Mourinho up top. And, like, the guy does great for the role he's been placed into, but, you know, it's kind of back to just Saka is the main threat and everyone else is
ball watching,
trying to contribute, but just can't get the ball in the net. Mm-hmm. So I think Liverpool's probably safe at this point, but I'm believing till the end.
You have to. If Haaland can go down right now when City needs him kind of at the most, if Salah goes down tomorrow, I will have a bit of a panic. And I know that's crazy because we have an 11-point lead, but how do Arsenal's eyes not just get bigger if they see a Salah injury? It's almost like Slot should not play Salah like the next 3 or 4 games and just clutch this thing out. And if you absolutely need him to score a goal, just bring him on as a sub or just make sure the game doesn't go like, dude, it could be so bad. It could be so catastrophic. It'd be the worst. It'd be the biggest fallout probably in Premier League history if we lose the season right now. And it's crazy that we've lost 2 games this year and one just happened last week.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it brings it down to that game between Arsenal and Liverpool, maybe not even meaning for the title, but being like
close
enough where it makes both teams kind of like need to fight for it, I think that's great. Like considering the gap of points as it is and as it was, if it can be close enough to make that game more important for both teams, that's a good season ender right there. So
the only good news is we have West Ham and Leicester next. So that's, if we drop points in those games,
I don't know. Jared Bowen, he said, Salah ain't signed yet. Let me put on a show.
West Ham is the one where I'd be like questioning it a little bit. I'm like, okay, we just have to like just not mess up. Leicester, we should smoke. But again, once a team is in that relegation zone, they kind of just play like there's no more pressure anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
So even though they can climb out theoretically, I don't know, dude. We should absolutely smash Leicester. We should. And then the Tottenham game, it's not the easiest closeout to a season. Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton, Palace.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest.
I wonder, where does that Tottenham game come for them? Okay, so they'll be either out of Europa League or looking towards the final. So, yeah, because I was kind of wondering if you're right between their Europa League games.
Are we?
No, you're after. Because that's going to be their, I mean, that's their season right there, those 2 games. And, you know, if they get through that and then the final, but I don't know. It's, if they go through those 2 games, obviously they need to keep up some consistency and try and play at a higher level. So they might come and, like, want to play.
Yep.
Or I don't know. The Tottenham team is a weird one. So
super weird. All right. Well, hey, just some of the games on the weekend. Did you happen to catch any moments or highlights that stood out to you? I watched the Palace and Brighton games. I knew that would be a fascinating one. But my goodness, that last 12 minutes of injury time was just all over the place. Funny. And Nketiah getting his red card too. I was like, what are you doing, man? That was just.
Yeah,
just a dumb move to make.
I loved at the start of that game Mateta getting a goal right away. Yep. Basically,
welcome back.
This crazy like ear cover
thing. Yeah, it was interesting, huh?
I haven't seen that. I was kind of wondering, like, I mean, I guess it's probably vented, so it's not like closed off, because otherwise you feel like you're plugged up on that ear or something.
Yeah.
But it's got to be a weird sensation either way to play with that. But nice to see him back, see him scoring.
Knew he would.
I almost got up to watch the Tottenham game just to see if Southampton could do it, but I just couldn't trust Southampton to do anything, so I didn't bother to watch it. But I caught some of the Villa and Forest game though.
Yep,
it's pretty good. I mean, I think both teams looked decent. Like, I think Villa is kind of coming back into form, which is, you know, great for their season. They were certainly struggling there for a while, but I don't know. No Chris Wood on the score sheet is or on the team even is, you know, a big miss clearly for Forrest. So I didn't see if he was injured or what happened, but I think they'll need him back. Like, he is their Haaland, right? So
yeah, I wonder how long he's out for.
And I watched the Manchester derby, but it was so boring that I fell asleep. So
I could not believe how boring that game was.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Zero highlights.
We'll see Chris Wood back this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, zero highlights literally in that game.
Crazy.
I was listening to the commentary at the end of the game, and they're giving player of the match, and they gave it to Bruno, and then one of the commentators like, "Do we have to?" Like, I was like, "Ouch." He's like, "I don't think anyone deserves it."
No, I mean, it was just a surprisingly flat game. Like, I get, you know, you're kind of at opposite ends of the table, so it doesn't have, you know, any big meaning in the table, like, between you two. But, like, again, for Man City...
Yeah, have some pride for the city
you're
itself.
You're right on the edge. Like, yeah, you got to win your rivalry game, and if anything, that would have helped get you into Champions League right now. You got knocked out of you know, Europe in total right now. So I don't know, it's very strange. I mean, I know no Haaland, but beyond that, you know, it's basically the team we've seen. I don't know. And you know, United looked the same as they have all season, basically, just no real ideas.
Yeah, they weren't even close to two shots on target. Casemiro and Xerxes got his after the 70th minute. Hey, Marmoush likes to shoot though.
Yeah.
Not this weekend, yeah, but the last one he put up 9 shots. So he's trying.
Yeah, I think he can be good. I think they just kind of the same as when Haaland was first there. They struggled to like see his runs and find him. Mm-hmm. I think they got to do the same with Marmoush because he's getting into some good spots. You know, even in this game against United, I saw just some of the runs and movement he was making, and he's up there trying to make something work and find space. It's just City's eyes are not looking forward enough, I think, at this point.
Yeah, they got to find a good way. Cause I know Pep loves to play the kind of the 4-3-3, but with the way Haaland can play and how fast Marmoush is, it's like reminds me of a hyper Melito Eto style, where like Melito can kind of be the one in the box, you know, finessing players, while Eto is the speedster running around kind of causing havoc. Different style of play. City doesn't really do that. I guess they kind of did it a little bit with Aguero and Paulo Telli to a sense. Like, like the idea, right? Big striker, fast striker. Yeah. It's more now who's going to be feeding them the ball. Who's gonna be that guy to come in De Bruyne's role here? Because, dude, their whole midfield is just old.
Yeah.
And we call Foden on it, but I don't think that's his. That's not going
to
be him.
I think he's the one that people will look to, but I just don't think he's ever really been that creator, right? Like, best games he's played when he gets the goals and stuff is late runs into the box and you know, picking up the loose ball. And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Foden's the guy to take over creativity, and I don't really see anyone else on the team currently that will do that either.
Oh, I got an interesting question for you. We'll do Arsenal, Liverpool, and City here. We'll do City first, but if City could poach one player off of a team who wasn't that team's best player, who do you think it would be? And we could be opinionated on who's what team's best player might be.
Are you talking Premier League only?
Yeah, yeah, just... we'll go Premier League only.
Think City. Honestly, I think City could use Bruno Fernandes.
Would you? But I would argue that's Man United's best player.
Yeah,
they can't poach him. They can't poach. They can't poach the team's best player.
Okay. Then maybe. I think we can.
It's a tough one.
I think purely because of the De Bruyne gap that will happen. I think Eze from Palace,
yeah,
would be like a good shout. Like,
yep.
I don't know if he can make the step all the way up that they need to, but he's got that creativity in him, and you know, ability on the ball and to make the passes and stuff that can kind of fill that De Bruyne role.
That's kind of where I was leaning to. I think that. They've looked at him before, right? So we already kind of know they have their eyes on him. Gosh, it wouldn't shock me at all if that's the move that ends up happening. I'd be interested to see... That's kind of my pick. Kind of. The next one I would do... Because it has to be the second best player, I was like, would they take Cole Palmer back? Would they find a way to do that? Because I'm like, Chelsea, yes, I do think Cole Palmer is Chelsea's best player. For this season, it feels borderline right now just because Palmer hasn't done anything in the second half. So I don't know. I don't even know who Chelsea's best player is at this moment. My other shout would have been Smith Rowe. I feel like because he's young enough and he hasn't been too hurt this season, right? He's played 28 games. Yeah. He's been around. That would be someone that kind of, it would be an interesting swap to make. He probably would be cheapish. Yeah, the English midfielders, that would make sense. Yeah, there's not a lot of, for what City needs, which is the creative midfielder, not a lot of those running around right now who isn't a team's best player. I would have said Morgan Gibbs-White too, but he ain't leaving Forest. He's not leaving.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's locked in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially like if City doesn't have Europe next year and Forest does. Like,
yeah, for sure. Leave? Exactly. All right, same question, but for Arsenal.
Well, it's got to be a striker.
Of course.
It's kind of tough. Like, I mean, Isak is the one, but you could argue he's Castle's best player.
Yeah.
I mean, at least this season, so I mean, I don't like it, but it's tough because like there's a few players where it's like your Mbumos and your Semenyos, but like I think Arsenal just need like a proper striker figure. Mm-hmm. So I mean that pool's already so small, and then I mean I know the biggest shout is Ollie Watkins just because there's been those connections, but like you know for me and the data that we see week in and week out, he doesn't really do it for me, but. I guess I'll make that my pick just because he's probably the most promising striker that isn't the team's best player.
Who would you argue is Villa's best player? Emmy?
I'd probably lean Emmy. Or really off of this season, maybe even Morgan Rodgers. I mean, he's really shown up this season and, you know, I think Watkins is certainly in the argument, but for me, he's just too inconsistent to like be considered the best player. Which again is not a great highlight to then say bring him to Arsenal. But for the sake of this game, I think he'd probably be the pick. Like, I want to throw out a wild like Mateta, but
yeah,
I don't know if he can make the jump that Arsenal would need. And you know, Watkins, I think, is, I guess, a little bit more proven since he's had now some Champions League experience as well. But
I think Watkins makes... So I was kind of between those two as well. It's the Watkins and Mateta for a striker. And I don't even know if that's what Liverpool... I mean, I'll be honest. My real answer is Munoz. I think Munoz on Liverpool would slay.
Wow, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. as a replacement for Trent, like that's kind of what I would lean towards. Be kind of nasty having him and Salah there to do some special things. I don't know what would be more fitting, because Watkins, right? I feel like Watkins needs the ball a little bit more than what Liverpool would ask for. But in Arsenal's case, it's almost like you want Watkins to have the ball to open up things. Mateta for me makes a lot of sense because he's there to like play hard and clean up and score goals, which he is, you know, if he was on Liverpool right now, I think he would have the second most goals scored. Yeah, he's 13. So he would be the second most. And outside of those two, you know, those are the two positions I think we're really going to need help unless our center back opens up. I don't think it will, just going off of vibes. Yeah, I like Munoz. So if Palace is going to do this fire sale again, I get it. Munoz's price just keeps going up, but he's 28. We're still in this like window of championships, very different player than Trent, but it makes a lot of sense to continue with a really good right back.
Yeah. I think he'd be a great pickup. You know, he's maybe not as good on the assists as Trent was, but I think just his attacking threat and presence in the attacking half of the field would be enough to, you know, kind of refresh that side a little bit for Liverpool. But then, yeah, he also just performs well in the tackles and defending as well. So I think that's a great shout. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it happen. I don't know what price would be, but, you know, I think as much as we kind of want Palace to like actually hold on to guys and try and build, like, I think if the right club comes knocking and the right price is found, like, they're more than willing to sell pretty much anyone.
He's on contract till 2027. Rumors of Barcelona possibly coming knocking. Which, I don't know, if I was him, he's been a fan of Barcelona.
They always are.
Yeah, they always are. You're right. But apparently Chelsea and City are monitoring his transfers, if he goes to Chelsea, too.
Come on.
I know. We'll see. Hey, if we could package Munoz and Mateta, that'd be awesome.
Pretty good deal.
Time will tell. All right, Chad, you have not done your Champions League roster.
No, I got to get it in.
Okay, I'm making sure. Just making sure as we do a quick chat. We have our team set up. Want to go through these games really quick and just give a quick prediction? And then maybe we'll leave it there.
Oh, boy. Going to make me predict this?
Yes.
Okay, what do we got here?
We'll just do first leg, because we'll chat before the second leg begins.
Yeah. Bayern Inter.
Fun matchup.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning Inter on that. I haven't really kept up with either of these teams, even in Champions League. Like, just, you know, kind of peripherally see where they are on the table and all that. But I feel like I've the times that I've watched any, it seems Inter has a good hold on games and then seems to be able to grab the goal, where the times I've watched any Bayern, it's felt a little bit more like frantic and unsure, I guess. So, you know, Bayern at home might help them some, but I think Inter can, if not leave with a result, I think they'll leave with a draw.
I called a draw 2-2. Okay. You know, with aggregate not being a thing anymore, these leg one games are just so just reserved, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Where teams don't want to expose themselves too much just because it could mean nothing by the second round. So yeah, 2-2. I have 2-2 as well. Well, I don't know how many goals you got going, but at least the draw. I think a draw is inevitable there. I'll go first here. Arsenal and Madrid. Do you want my brain answer? You want my heart answer?
Give me what the brain's telling you.
The brain is telling me 2-0 Madrid. The heart is telling me a 0-0 draw. And that just means, again, not having Gabby for this game is a huge blow. Huge blow.
That sucks.
So I think Reyes going to have to be on his game. And they have to find a way to keep Madrid from scoring, which is a really tough ask.
Yeah. I was feeling more and more confident as this game got closer, and then Gabby went down and was like, ouch. But I feel like Arsenal can at least pull a draw here. You know, that we do have Timber and White is like mostly back, so we can kind of force them on the right side, and I mean, it'll force Saliba to the left, which I don't know if you really want to do, but I think White or Timber playing center back is better than Kivior. So I think that'll be the way they do it. You know, Saka's, again, mostly back. Martinelli's looked good in recent games, looking a little more confident and willing to take players on. So I think Arsenal put up a really good fight. I don't think this will be a rollover situation. I want to, of course, I'd love an Arsenal win. But I know it's Madrid, and even in like recent games in La Liga where they've struggled, I know Madrid in Champions League is just like, for some reason, different beast. So I'm
going for a draw. What's your heart telling you?
I'm going for a draw.
And what's your head telling you?
I mean,
if you're a betting man on this,
draw on both.
Really? Here. All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it realistic.
Keep it real.
I mean, if I was a praying man, I'm praying that Saka just lights him up and you know, does his thing. Could be the day. Either way, it's like feels such like a big game, and yeah, it's not even the final, but it's like it's got that excitement around it, and you know, fun to be here. Fun to be in this stage of it where,
of course,
you're playing the biggest teams now, so yeah, I think it'll be a good game either way. So.
You've only played Madrid 4 times in the last 20 years.
Yeah, so I mean, it's...
Do you want to know your record against them?
I mean, I'm sure it's okay.
2 wins, no losses, 2 draws.
Yeah, see, there you go. So we'll just keep rolling with that. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be fun.
Oh, hey, wait. I messed up this stat, Chad. Sorry. 2 wins, 1 draw, and 1 victory in PKs.
Oh, well, see, even better.
Sweet.
Yeah.
PSG, Aston Villa?
I think PSG are going to take this, especially if they come out like they did against Liverpool. The only thing Villa's got going for him is Emery in the cups, you know?
He likes them cups. I got 3-0 PSG.
Yeah, I was thinking 2-0, honestly. So, I think Villa will put up a bit more of a fight at home, but I really think Emi Martinez is just kind of gone a little flat as the season has gone on. He's not making any crazy saves anymore. So, which, as we saw, you know, with Alisson, you're going to need your keeper to make some big saves against this PSG team. So.
I hope we go to PKs. I hope.
That'd be cool.
Would be cool. And finally, Barcelona, Dortmund.
I think Barcelona's going to steamroll them.
Yeah, I do too. I think the quality in these two teams is vastly different. I think Dortmund kind of getting by against Lille in the last one was a borderline miracle for them. Yeah. So to do this all over again against Barcelona, different beast.
For sure. So,
Barcelona's been cruising.
Yeah, Barcelona, I think, is fully, you know, everyone's on the same page clicking now.
Yeah.
You know, Rafinha's looking crazy. Yamal's still out there doing his thing. You know, from front to back, they feel like a really strong team. So I think Dortmund's road ends here.
Good ride, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty good ride. You made it further than a lot of teams, including mine. So good on them.
Yeah.
All right, Chad. Well, these predictions will come out post-production. So I guess we'll know more in 3 hours. But I'm excited for these matchups. Again, these matchups determine what my vacation looks like. So that's kind of crazy that I'm riding on a lot of players that I have never considered even rooting for in some of these situations. So really, really go Arsenal here. Gosh, if you can beat Madrid, that'd be crazy.
I think it's going to be crazy, you know? They've been talking the whole week of all the fireworks and light shows and all this stuff, you know, the pregame and everything. So I think the atmosphere is going to be really good. You know, players will be up for it. We've seen, you know, the motivation tactics Arteta has used in the past. I'm sure he's got some crazy whole PowerPoint and hold hands and slap each other on the face or something. I don't know.
Do you feel it? Do you feel this? Yeah, I like it. I can already see it in my head. All right, we'll know more in an hour. Get your teams in, episode 97. Pleasure talking with you, Chad. We'll speak soon. All right, with that, Hooligans Pitch, we're out. Peace.